When news breaks, we break in. We're the all-new News Talk 92.3 WCPR, the talk of the Outer Banks.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
8:36, and we will break in at 2 o'clock today. Governor Roy Cooper, Dr. Mandy Cohen, Secretary of State Health and Human Services, 2 o'clock briefing from the State Emergency Operations Center. We'll have that live for you here on News Talk 92.3 WZPR and at obxtoday.com. You can listen to it here. You can watch it live there. Got you covered on that. It's coming up at 2 o'clock today. Let's head now to the WZPR Breaking News Hotline. Lorelei Costa, Executive Director of the Outer Banks Community Foundation, is on with us. Good morning, Lorelei. Been a while since we talked, and glad to have you on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I'm excited to join you, but by telephone, I guess, you know, several months ago, I would have been joining you in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. Until things do clear up, we're kind of doing phone only, which is kind of how all of us in the media are handling this for our safety and your safety, of course.
Absolutely.
And the Outer Banks Community Foundation, Lorelei, just kind of jump, give us the highlights. If people aren't familiar what the Outer Banks Community Foundation does and how it started, just kind of give us a brief summary of that.
Well, the Outer Banks Community Foundation is a nonprofit organization, and I think people who live here and people who visit here know that the Outer Banks has got to be one of the most generous places in the country. People just come together in Dare County and across the Outer Banks over and over again to help each other, and the Community Foundation is kind of the hub for that generosity. We support all of the nonprofits supporting the Outer Banks. We're the largest scholarship provider in the Outer Banks, and we are a place where donors can make lasting gifts to help their neighbors after storms, attend college, get fed, help each other through times of crisis, like through all this COVID business. So, we just help people help each other. And we started in 1982. Actually, one of our founders was Andy Griffith. And we have a $20 million foundation that was donated by people who live here on the Outer Banks or love the Outer Banks, and they're invested gifts, and we use the earnings each year to make grants and scholarships to help people. So that's what we're about.
And it's a group of people, I mean, and if you talk about the names of the Outer Banks, I mean, it's not just Andy Griffith, who probably is the most well-known around the world, but those of us who've grown up here, whether it's David Stick, whether it's Eddie Green, there's so many people that have been so instrumental in the Outer Banks Community Foundation, not just getting it started, but for carrying it on for almost 40 years now.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's new people every day who step up and help and become part of the foundation, because we're not just, you know, one pot of money that one person contributed once. Anybody can start a fund at the Community Foundation to help whatever charity inspires them, whatever cause they want to support. We're here to help them do that.
Yeah, that's very interesting to bring that up, that people can designate how their funds go. And as much as during Dorian and we had the link up at obxtoday.com pushing people to make one-time contributions, whether how small or how great. But the foundation, really the bread and butter, the bulk of what the work you do is funded through people who make lasting gifts and make it almost like their investments, almost like an investment.
Yeah, exactly. So people will perhaps leave a gift to the Community Foundation in their will, or maybe they do it during their lifetime. They make a gift to us. We invest it, just as you said. We use their earnings to make grants and scholarships. But I will say, we have played a leading role after the major hurricanes that have struck the Outer Banks, and we send out that money right away. We don't subject it to the market at all. We get it out to hurricane victims or disaster victims just as quickly as possible. So those gifts, you know, we want to get out to help people rebuild their homes, pay their medical bills as quickly as possible. And we work with every nonprofit in town. There are a lot of groups. Some of them are truly my heroes. And especially after disasters or during this COVID crisis, there's so many nonprofits that have stepped up to the plate to help their neighbors, and we support them financially.
Well, let's jump back into September, and Hurricane Dorian does what it does to Ocracoke and parts of Hatteras Island as well. That's something people forget. That's as bad as it got for Ocracoke. There was a lot of people that suffered in Hatteras Village and in Frisco again from Dorian. And you guys were there. I almost as fast as the first responders and trying to find out what was needed and to get help out there.
Yeah. And the community stepped up. I mean, we raised $1.5 million to help storm victims in Ocracoke and, as you said, Hatteras Island and Dare County. Kill Devil Hills actually had a lot of damage as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ocracoke was in the spotlight because the damage there was so extensive and because that community had not been hit, you know, for decades the way it was in Dorian. But Hatteras Island just gets pummeled year after year. And one way we've been able to use those contributions is in partnership with Cape Hatteras United Methodist Men. They're actually looking at some homes that get hit over and over again by hurricanes, you know, these repetitive losses is the term they use. And they're helping to elevate those homes. And these homes are actually trailers because there's no other funding source to help families who live in trailers protect their homes. And so that's how philanthropy and nonprofits can really step up and fill in those gaps that maybe other funding sources, like government sources, don't cover.
Yeah, and that was especially true with Dorian because Ocracoke did not qualify. Hyde County didn't qualify for the level of damage for the full FEMA grants and assistance.
That you had was to go through.
Yeah, exactly. And you had to go through the SBA for low interest loans for low interest loans. And that was where the community foundation and the contributions that came, I mean, from 1 cent to, you know, what I mean, the hundreds of thousands that came from so many of our business community here locally and regionally, you guys were able to step in and fill a gap that was a huge gap with the storm.
Yeah. So the storm hit on Friday, as I'm sure you remember and all your listeners remember.
Yep.
Saturday morning, I got a phone call from Taylor Sugg at Town Bank, who says, I mean, I didn't even call him first. He calls me Saturday morning and says, we're in for $150,000. So as you said, the business community, and especially the banks, just really stepped up to help their neighbors. I was floored with that phone call, and one by one, you know, community banks stepped up to help. And those major gifts is what started it all and inspired 6,000 people to contribute to help Dorian victims. It was one of the most amazing things I've witnessed in my life. So incredibly humbling and inspiring.
Lorelei,
people from all over the country, not just people who live in the Outer Banks, but people from all over the country, even other countries contributed. We got gifts from the Netherlands.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, that's Thailand.
That's amazing how many people made contributions from all over the world. Lorelei Costa, Executive Director of the Outer Banks Community Foundation, our guest here on OBX today on the all-new News Talk 92.3 WZPR 844. Well, let's move forward on the calendar to mid-March when things kind of just went haywire with COVID-19. And again, your group steps up to coordinate, but so many people stepped up because we knew that so many people are going to be struggling, not just with finances personally, but one thing that's left out of is how many groups rely on fundraisers to get through the year, to be able to provide services here locally to things that normally that don't get funded, as you said, from government sources. And that was the community foundation stepped right in to fill that gap again.
Yeah. Well, as you said, groups rely on our community for their programs, nonprofit groups, and here in the Outer Banks especially, a lot of our fundraising is through events, you know, these wonderful parties or get-togethers and galas and all this fun stuff. Well, all of a sudden, all of that stuff is canceled, and you've got these nonprofit organizations that are meeting vital needs. They're feeding people. You know, they're helping house people. They're and they've got no funding sources all of a sudden. They have to cancel all their fundraisers. And you and I were talking earlier this morning about those legacy gifts. Well, people who gave us gifts years ago or decades ago, and we've been able to invest their gifts, this is when it becomes magical because we can use the earnings from those gifts made so long ago to help when our community is in crisis and when people can't give today. So we were able to do about $150,000 of grants to nonprofits and help them not just continue their programs, but in many cases expand. So Hatteras Island Meals, love this organization, all volunteers. It's basically the Meals on Wheels program for Hatteras Island. They recognized that their clients who are homebound are the most at risk at COVID and, you know, wouldn't want to leave their homes. So they not only continued their service, but they expanded it to 5 days a week, and we were able to support that with a grant. But I just love that our nonprofits kept what they were doing, but also expanded because they saw needs in the community.
And this isn't just something that just you've one time this thing here earlier this summer, such as the most recent one back in June. These are ongoing. There are more needs out there, and I know that you guys are identifying them and got the grant programs and grant applications. The process that you guys go through in determining who's going to get these funds, but it's an ongoing process. This isn't just a one-time thing, because it seems like this is going to be around for quite some time.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you said that, Sam. I appreciate that, because we have a grant application deadline at the end of this month, on July 31st, and any charitable organization serving the Outer Banks can apply for funding. And so if you're part of a nonprofit, any of your listeners, if you're part of a nonprofit organization and you're meeting a community need, whether it's related to COVID or even Dorian or anything, you are welcome to apply. Call our office first so we can steer you in the right direction. But I want to give my website, if that's okay.
It's of course.
obcf.org. That stands for Outer Banks Community Foundation.org. So it's obcf.org. There's a link to the grant application. My phone number is there. People can call me and talk about, you know, their projects, and we can see if the community foundation might be a fit.
Now, of course, we were talking earlier today about schools and colleges and universities, how they're going to be reopening. But even if they reopen online, or whether they're going to do in-person as far as the colleges go, there's still going to be money that's got to be spent. And that is, as you said, you guys are the biggest scholarship granter. Again, probably not the right term, but you guys award more scholarships than anybody else here on the Outer Banks. And I know you're very proud of the work that you're able to do with that. And you had some very, very remarkable students that were part of that scholarship program this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of our program, but I'm even more proud of these students. I mean, the seniors who graduated this year, you know, had their lives completely disrupted, but they're still buckling down and applying to college and keeping up their coursework. And, you know, in some cases, they have to take their classes online next year, but in other cases, you know, they're going off to college for the first time in this uncertain world. And just the achievements of these kids and how hard they work. I mean, we are giving scholarships to kids who worked, you know, two jobs while keeping up an amazing GPA, taking all of these difficult classes, captain of this and chair of that. I mean, I feel like such a slacker personally compared to these young people that we're helping. They're just amazing students, and I'm just really proud that we get a chance to help them. So we mailed $160,000 worth of scholarships last week. We've got, you know, more that we're going to do by the end of the year, but it's just such an amazing feeling to help all these students in such a concrete way, because student debt is such a problem, and I can't imagine having to graduate college, you know, right now in this economy with, you know, debt and not knowing how to pay for it. So that's our goal, is to help these students graduate with less or no debt.
Lorelai Costa, Executive Director of the Outer Banks Community Foundation. Let's get a little personal now, because just a couple of days ago, some very big news for you, which I'm sure means a lot, because it puts the foundation on another level of visibility around the state of North Carolina. You're elected to the statewide nonprofit board, the North Carolina Center for Nonprofits. What does this mean for you, but also what does this mean for the foundation as a whole?
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you. It was a huge honor for me. I was so excited to be considered and then elected to this position. The North Carolina Center for Nonprofits is the statewide group that helps every nonprofit across our state. And I have been in the nonprofit sector my whole career since when I graduated college. And I remember, you know, in my early 20s, going to all of their classes and their conferences and learning so much. They provide so many resources to so many nonprofits in terms of training, in terms of knowledge, in terms of advocacy and connecting groups. I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of this board because they don't have a lot of representation. Well, certainly not from Outer Banks, but from Northeastern North Carolina. And we are, a very particular part of the state with some important needs. Of course, the Outer Banks is its own world, but expanding into Northeastern North Carolina, we're a very rural, under-resourced part of the state. And I'm just thrilled to have this opportunity to lift up those issues. We've got a lot of amazing organizations working in the metro areas, you know, Charlotte, the Triad, the Triangle. But these groups, small, sometimes all-volunteer groups that are, you know, working so hard in under-resourced parts of the state, like Northeastern North Carolina, we have, you know, special needs, and I'm just so proud to be able to lift those up at a statewide level.
And say that's a very good point, that the Northeast is so unique, not just to North Carolina, but really the entire country, because we have such unique challenges because of our lack of industry, because of so many different things. We're still an agrarian region, and tourism being our industry here on the Outer Banks and Northeastern, or in Currituck and in Dare counties and in Hyde counties, the primary industry really is tourism. That's the funding background. But the rest of the region, other than, you know, a few service industry and things like that, and that's where there's a little bit of, I guess, you don't have that corporate giving in these other parts of Northeastern North Carolina that you have even right here in Dare County and in on the Outer Banks. So how are you going to, with that in mind, how are you going to be able to bring that to the rest of the state and to the nonprofits and try to encourage more of that?
Well, corporate giving is just one slice of the pie, because you're absolutely right. We don't have the industry in Northeastern North Carolina like we might have in other parts of the state. But there's also individual giving, and there's also foundation giving. And sometimes that's just a matter of elevating issues and communities and challenges and bringing them to the attention of people with resources and inviting them to give to those areas. So that's not just a role for the statewide group, but also the role for the statewide group is helping local groups reach new people and share their message with folks in other parts of the country or other parts of the state who might have a special passion for helping people in rural areas. And so, you know, there's economic development issues for sure, lack of jobs, healthcare issues. I mean, you're talking about COVID and how that uniquely affects rural areas that don't have the same kind of medical resources as other places. All of these issues, you know, need to be elevated to all of these resources in other parts of the states. And I think if we can do that and really think about ourselves as a state, as a whole region where we help each other as North Carolinians, maybe there's an opportunity there. So I'm just excited to be part of this group.
Yep. Lorelei Costa, Executive Director of the Outer Banks Community Foundation, our guest here on OBX today on the all-new News Talk 92.3 WZPR. Again, go over the information, because you said you've got a key deadline that's coming up here in just 10 days for another round of grants.
Yeah, so we have a grant application deadline. It is Friday, July 31st. The application is online, and it closes right at 11:59 p.m. And anybody who's part of a nonprofit organization that's doing something to help the Outer Banks, we want to hear from you. Call our office, tell us about your project, and we'll see if we might be a fit. So our website is obcf.org, and that stands for Outer Banks Community Foundation.org. The application is right there, so you can take a look at it. The guidelines for the grants are there. You can take a look at that, see if it might be a fit. Then give us a call and we'll talk.
Lorelei Costa, Outer Banks Community Foundation, thank you so much for joining us. And look, when we get closer to that deadline, if you want to jump back on here next week, feel free. Just give me a call. I'm right here.
Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Sam. I had fun.